Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. 'Cause I'm just a girl, a little lonely. Well, don't.
You're really here because you contributed to this incredible building that people have wanted for so many years. And we show another building, it's an arc, it's the arc. So that circle, that's Arlington Memorial Bridge, as you know, it's sort of the most important one, a very important structure. And at the end of it, you have a circle that was built 150 years ago, nobody knows really when.
Now, in this case, President Trump is talking a little bit near the mic, not quite close enough, because he's working his way kind of back and forth between the podium. And I've never seen a president have such an inept tap crew around him. I mean, he just always runs into microphone problems, all the way back to the Pensacola Bay Center stuff. And just, you know, just mic issues and sound issues just seem to plague him. And it's not really great, okay? I feel for the man. Anyway, he's back and forth between the little, you know, podium, whatever, lectern, I guess you'd call it, and a map of this portion of Washington, D.C., showing the river across to Arlington and the Lincoln Memorial and something else that's happening because he's got an idea.
And in fact, they put a couple of columns on each side. So you have two columns on one side, two columns on the other. But you have in the middle just a circle, and everyone that passes it said something was supposed to be built there. That's true. But a thing called the Civil War interfered. That's a good reason. I would say Ike, that would be a good reason, right? The great Ike Perlmutter. The Civil War, if you said you're having a war, I think you have a good reason not to build. Again, you know, they were building the Washington Monument, then they stopped, and you could see where they stopped because the stone is a little different color when you get up to the middle. But anyway, they stopped here.
Yeah, so what he's talking about is there's this space, this circle roundabout, when you go over the river, when you get to Arlington, it's right across from the Lincoln Memorial, like the back of the Lincoln Memorial, and there's a giant grassy knoll there that is a big roundabout, and it looks to all the world as a place where there should have been something, and there isn't anything. Well, what he says is that they were supposed to build a monument to General Lee, and then, of course, Civil War happened, and there was no money, and that's why the Washington Monument was paused, or sort of why the Washington Monument was paused anyway. And he says, I have an idea. I'd like to build an ark. Not an ark like you put animals in, but like the Arc de Triomphe, an arch. You know, the Arc de Triomphe in France is major, cool, wonderful, fits in the architectural style. Let's put that here.
Lady Liberty. Did you ever hear of Lady Liberty?
Lady Liberty on the top in gold.
But,
so or gold always.
Very good.
Now he's way off the mic now. He's saying Lincoln is back there. You can see it in the distance. You can see it through the arch, basically.
So this would be, like, small, medium, and large.
Three different sizes of arch. Small, medium, and large.
Whichever one to look good. I happen to think the large looks quite
good. I like the large one.
Why are you shocked to hear that? So we're going to, you know, just do something for the city.
The more huge, the better, right? Now,
supersized.
What are people calling it online? Not the Arc de Triomphe, but the Arc de Trump. See? It's clever. But especially given the picture of the president holding the miniature version of the arch, and given the fact that those of us who pay attention to these things are of a certain age where we can't help but think about one particular movie scene with the admonition, please make sure you get the size of the end result correct.
Do not for one think that the problem was that the band was down. I think that the problem may have been that there was a Stonehenge monument on the stage that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf. All right? That tended to understate the hugeness of the object.
I really think you're just making a much too big a thing out of it.
Making a big thing out of it would have been a good idea.
Nigel gave me a drawing that said 18 inches, all right?
I know he did, and that's what
now,
I'm talking about.
Whether he knows the difference between feet and inches is not my problem. I do what I'm told.
So let's just make sure that the schematics are rendered clearly in feet and not inches. And so we don't get an installed Arc de Trump that's, you know, 14 inches tall instead of, or, you know, 40, I don't know how big, 40 inches tall instead of being 40 feet tall. But honestly, I love this idea. I know a lot of people are down on this because, oh, the expense. You know what? Make things cool. Washington, D.C. is a great place to go visit because of the architecture. And at some point, somebody has to make decisions. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh, it's so vain. But then I saw the location, I saw the thing, and I'm like, oh, that would be fantastic. That perfectly fits that location. I mean, that location is actually screaming for something to be put there. So I'm on board. I'm in. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. 98, Highway 90, 29, all seeing no delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the television show English Teacher. And before I go any farther, I want to acknowledge the concern I have with even talking about this FX program to you. Although the show is clearly pro-gay, which we love, it is also most definitely anti-woke, which we despise. And I worry about two things that even mentioning it as to canceling. First, perhaps you become aware, you watch it, and you're lured into its very clever comedic commentary on our religion. Do not be tempted to watch it, dear Otherin. Second, by centering the program around an openly gay teacher who consistently challenges the basic tenets of our faith, this program gives the impression that it's possible to be a person of the rainbow and yet also not fully embrace the full orthodoxy of the holy acronym string about social justice, diversity, systemic racism, and the like. We most certainly do not want people starting to think they can pick and choose which of our doctrines to accept and which to reject. Groupthink is our most holy sacrament, which is why we despise comedy and satire, since they raise the danger that our congregants might actually start thinking for themselves with disastrous results. With those cautions in mind, consider a recent episode in which the main character, Evan, suddenly discovers to his chagrin that he was in fact a DEI hire as a gay Latino man rather than hired purely for his qualifications.
Evan, I actually see your point here, man. Like the way you're always banging the DEI drum. I get it, man. I'd do the same thing if it got me this job.
Wow. Very funny, Marky. Very funny.
I ain't joking.
Wait, you're legitimately suggesting that I was a diversity hire?
Nah. I mean, it's just like a rumor I heard.
Notice how he starts to question his faith after a conversation with his conservative coach friend, Marky. This is precisely why the 51st Edict of Wokeism reminds us that those who associate with Gaia femurs and woketics will always be tempted to question their own faith in time. This is why we say not to be friends with conservatives. Ever. Far too risky.
What's going on, Evan?
You know what? I've never asked. That's so random. It's like, was I a DEI hire? Oh my God. I'm a diversity hire?
Despite being a staunch advocate of preferential hiring, Evan had failed to realize how insulting DEI hiring practices are for the people who benefit from them. And once he realizes this, he sets out to tell his students to not try to get into better colleges through using veiled DEI references in their application essays. The episode, in fact, virtually demands the viewer ask themselves why we don't tell students and employees who benefit from DEI that they are such beneficiaries. And obviously, it's because it would be devastating to them and ruin their reputation with the student body or the workers and their self-esteem. But look, the basic insult of diversity programs, or what we used to call affirmative action, is really central to what we want to have happen. When a woman, a minority, or an LGBTQ3M*GTU gets a job, we want them to not think they did it on their own, but instead owe everything to the great and wonderful system of social justice we have created to benefit them. This indebtedness and gratitude is a feature, not a bug, of the system. We want them to believe they cannot do anything on their own without our benevolent lordship over them. That's how you create an obedient population. You make them feel they're unworthy and incapable without your lavish generosity toward them. We don't want rugged independence. We want unrugged dependence. And for making people think about this benefit as somehow being an insult to their dignity and worth, English teacher must be canceled. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to say something that I know will trouble you greatly, but hear me out. We want to commend United States Secretary of Non-Peace Pete Hegseth, as this week the Pentagon followed through on its deadline for reporters to either agree to a series of restrictions on their journalism or else surrender their press credentials. The most brilliant of these restrictions was the requirement that any information published must first be approved by an appropriate authorizing official, even if it contains only unclassified information. In other words, Pentagon reporters would have to submit their stories on the military to the military itself for approval prior to publication, meaning the news media would essentially become PR arms of the Pentagon. Now, dear Otherin, I know, with all the concerns you have about the future of our nation and especially the devastating impact being inflicted upon her by President Never say his name, it might seem like keeping a free press would be a good thing, especially now. But don't you see? If this administration can so directly attack the long-standing ability of the press to tell the citizens what the civilian-led military is doing, then just imagine what we can do with that kind of anti-transparency when we get in power. The capacity we will have to shape culture through the Ministry of Truth and Propaganda will be awesome. And the other side won't even be able to raise an objection because they will have been the ones who did it first. Just think what we can get away with if we don't have to worry about pesky independent journalists doing their jobs. We can stay in power forever and do virtually anything we want to bring about the perfect Woketopia. And the fact that every single news outlet other than one has protested this change is proof of its rightness. It will be everything St. Orwell predicted. And to think that it will have been none other than a former Fox News host who became Secretary of Anti-Peace who paved the way for us with this wonderful policy of state-driven media censorship. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to express our deepest admiration for the outstanding work being done in the United Kingdom. Although obviously we oppose kingdom, monarchy, we believe in No King's Day, and we certainly wouldn't celebrate anything that's built as a patriarchy, which by definition a kingdom is. But putting all of that aside, the UK has really done something wonderful recently. They've instituted a broad array of restrictions on the marketing of unhealthy foods. These new regulations, which control product placement in convenience stores for soft drinks, chocolate, ice cream, cereal, pizza, potato chips, what they call crisps, and processed meats like hamburgers and chicken nuggets. These foods and others are no longer allowed to be placed at shop entrances or on the end caps of aisles because the mentally weak consumers will be tempted to eat their way down the path of type 2 diabetes just because of the tempting location of these dangerous foods. In addition to restrictions on product point of exposure, the UK has also instituted a ban on price promotions and multi-buy offers such as buy one, get one free specials, BOGOs, for those deadly almost food items. Thus, the headline-grabbing slice of this new law completely prohibits free refills on sugary sodas and lemonade. That's right, no more soft drink free refills anarchy in the UK. Of course, the impetus for these reforms is to prevent diabetes and its costs, which run into the billions of extra pounds caused by the patients with the extra pounds enjoying the wonderful state-run socialized medicine program. But we also know that the other massive benefit to implementing food and drink codes on the citizens is that this is precisely how you cultivate the formation of a religion. Food, as you know, is the very center of what defines people groups, alongside language, attire, and sports. And if you want to foster a sense of cultural identity, you direct people to eat certain foods and in certain ways. Not only does this bond the similar eaters together, but it also creates a barrier of contempt towards outsiders who do not practice the same food habits. Every religion is defined by its forbidden foods and what it eats at its major celebrations. This is basic sociology. Crafting strict rules on what words to use, how to dress, how to play, and what to eat. This is how we fabricate a society devoted to our beliefs. Why else do you think we spend so much time as the food Pharisees advocating for cage-free meat or even meat alternatives like bean curd or insects? Specific kinds of drinks like herbal tea or wheatgrass and organic everything. Food conformity is a vital element of any successful religion, and ours is no different, praise Gaia. But this is why we actually want to see the UK do even more. Go farther. Don't just try to reduce the advertising of some foods or cut down on the volume a Brit might easily consume. Ban them altogether. The freedom to eat anything you want is a liberty no successful cultural revolution can allow. Besides, if the healthcare costs of treating diabetes-related problems are so high, it's perfectly justified to help people cut themselves off from their most tempting food sins. What better way for the government to take over their lives for their benefit than by deciding which foods are so dangerous they may not be purchased at all, let alone in a BOGO? And just think how grateful everyone will be as they live longer, healthier lives, undistracted by the unwanted pleasures of the flesh, such as food that tastes better than licking a fence post. The Brits already have a good start with some of the least tasty food on the planet. Well, now they can just go the extra kilometer and make it all healthy, and usher in the tasteless revolution of longevity through pleasure denial. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 on News Radio 92.3. Chucklin' John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Licking.
Been licking a wooden fence post.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever eaten British food?
Oh, yes.
No, you do not.
I do.
Come on.
I was over there for a week.
All right. There's a couple of things that are tasty, but let's say they have a knownness.
Yeah.
For the blandness.
Some, yes. But there were some that just blew me away.
Fair
anyway, no accidents to report to you right now. Licking a wooden fence post. 90-98 Highway 29, not seeing any delays right now. And even Davis Highway is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Try eating at a British Army defect in a combat zone. Okay, that's...
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind.
We spent three months on the British post in Basra when I was in Iraq. Oh, my goodness.
Was it not fantastic?
Was it that good?
The fish and chips were okay.
They are,
okay.
Yeah.
They did that well.
Even after you've eaten them, you're still wondering which one was the potato and which one was the beef product. Go on, sir.
That's what made it so much better. The government shutdown is entering day number 17 now. The Senate again failing to pass a spending measure yesterday. Of course, both sides blaming each other for that. The latest U.S. strike on a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean is reportedly the first to leave survivors since the attack started last month. Venezuela says Thursday's strike killed six, bringing the death toll in the attacks to 27. A U.S. official said there were survivors in the latest incident, but no information has been released on that. And more than 20 states are now suing the EPA over its cancellation of the $7 billion Solar for All program, which was terminated back in August, with the EPA retracting about 90% of allocated solar grant funding. The states argue that the agency acted unlawfully. The lawsuit's part of a broader challenge against the EPA's efforts to withdraw clean energy funding approved by the Biden administration.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get fantastic advice from somebody who knows what they're doing and does it frequently. And by the way, this is, you know, even true if you're just kind of thinking about it at this point. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are great at this. They sold 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that. So very consistent, three and a half, four every single week over and over. That gives you a load of knowledge on the market, what it's doing, how it's changing, what you have to do. You know, do you need to replace your roof before you sell your home? That's a question you may well ask. And that's a that's an important thing to know, and that's an extra expense, right? But you do you have to? Don't you have to? Ask. They know. They deal with this all the time, literally every single day. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Jonathan Delosi, former national security advisor and Trump critic John Bolton, expected to surrender today after being indicted on 18 counts over the alleged mishandling of classified documents.
Prosecutors say John Bolton shared over 1,000 pages of classified information, including top secret material and SCI material, with two unauthorized individuals.
That's Fox's Chanley Painter. President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky set to meet again today to talk about big-ticket defense items. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
Zelensky specifically wants Tomahawks, which are highly accurate missiles that can travel more than 1,000 miles. President Trump appears not committal about sending Tomahawks after a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Thursday.
And the president said he and other high-level advisors will meet with Putin in Budapest, Hungary in the coming weeks. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got clear skies. It's a beautiful morning, 68 degrees here in Pensacola. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. A 68-year-old man was killed in a motorcycle crash in Milton yesterday morning. Happened on Highway 90 near Anna Simpson Road. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, a 71-year-old man driving a truck was stopped in a left turn lane when he started to cross Highway 90. That led to a collision with a motorcyclist approaching in the opposite lane. The rider was taken to the hospital but died shortly after. The truck driver was not hurt. The roads in that area were blocked off for a few hours while crews managed that scene. Escambia County moving forward with plans to replace the Myrtle Grove Fire Department and to build a new station in Paradise Beach after a $15 million budget amendment was approved yesterday. The outdated Myrtle Grove station was deemed unfit for modern firefighting. That led to a decision to construct a new facility there. The new Paradise Beach station will be built on Bower Road after a land swap with the Navy. Both projects will be funded by local option sales tax. Completion of those expected within 18 months. Former Santa Rosa County Commissioner James Calkins is now relocated to Walton County and apparently is running for local office again. Calkins previously served on the Santa Rosa Board of County Commissioners, where he finished third in a 2024 election. During his tenure, Calkins did face quite a bit of criticism. He acknowledged learning some lessons from his time on the Santa Rosa Board, particularly after his election loss. Calkins is the first to pre-file for the Walton County Commission seat. He aims to challenge incumbent Donna Johns. Calkins says his campaign's focus will be on God, family, and country. And he is vowing to end insider deals and restore integrity in Walton County government. An Escambia County jury found former contractor Jesse Lacoste guilty of theft and contractor fraud yesterday. And those are both second-degree felonies. The jury deliberated for just over an hour after a trial that lasted 2 days. Lacoste could now face up to 30 years in prison. His sentencing was set for December 11th. A very strong and a bright future. That is the state of the University of West Florida, according to interim president Manny Diaz, who gave the State of the University address yesterday. He touched on enrollment.
This fall, UWF reached an exciting milestone, welcoming more than 15,000 students. This isn't just a number. It's a reflection of trust. Trust from students and families who see the value of a UWF education, who believe in strength of our faculty, who know that the opportunity happens here. More students than ever before are choosing UWF because of the quality of our programs.
And Diaz also talked about the university's athletic programs, touting their national and conference championships, won in golf, volleyball, swimming, and softball, and a so far undefeated season for the Argos football team. 635 at News Radio 92.3. And John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just got a tip in that there was an accident that happened off Bayou Chico Bridge on the west side of Barrancas. Base traffic in that area will be affected. So thank you for the tip on that one. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays there. 90, 98, Highway 29. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have a beautiful day today with a high near 82 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Sunday, we will have showers and thunderstorms through the early morning hours, 60% chance of rain, high near 85. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Well, we've got 68 degrees, clear skies, an absolutely gorgeous Friday morning. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are moderately lower as the Trump and Putin summit looms. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $57.21 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $60.75 per barrel. A new Zumper study says the share of adults who are living solo is on the rise. And research shows that this demographic is looking for a place to settle down that affords them a lifestyle they can truly enjoy. St. Louis, Missouri took the number one spot on the list as the most affordable city for singles. Median rent for a one-bedroom apartment in the city is just $1,000. Treasury yields were lower this morning as the government shutdown entered its 17th day and investors monitored the state of the U.S. economy. The 10-year Treasury yield was down one basis point to 3.963%, while the 2-year Treasury note was lower by nearly 3 basis points to 3.399%. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 301. That's your money now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it. I dig it. Come on.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
And I know that we've all dealt with these emails, and I was averaging probably an email every 5 minutes on this. If everybody in this room knows. Well, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if you quite understand what the gist of it is. The state right now holds that statute. It's 365 days when sewage becomes available to your house. Same for me. When that becomes, if there's a sewage line ran down my road in front of my very young septic system, it comes down there and it says you have 365 days to hook up to the sewer system. There's people in this room, I can guarantee you, that are under that, that have been under that for years. There's no enforcement of that.
Commission meeting last Thursday. Kerry Smith, chairman, is getting ready to get, you know, lit up in the first part of this over this plan to simply put language that the state already has in its law into local ordinances for the purpose of not forfeiting eligibility to get grants to help offset the cost of converting from septic to sewer. But people were showing up because they read it and understood it as, oh, my God, you're going to make us all get rid of our septic tanks and connect to sewer, and we're going to have to pay $10, $15, $20, $30, whatever $1,000 to do that. And you're just pushing this on us on a Thursday morning when nobody knew this was coming. Here we are. We're angry.
What we're doing, and I want to address everybody in the stands to keep their comments to themselves until they have time to speak at the microphone, because we can hear you really loud and clear up here. It's an echo chamber. All this ordinance does is it sets up a grant opportunity for us to make it to where when they come down my road, I don't have to pay $15,000. The state will give that grant opportunity to these homeowners, including me. That's why I'm looking at it as through citizen glasses. And I want you to understand exactly what we're trying to do here. There's nothing in here trying to say we're trying to squeeze 15 grand out of people and trying to make your lives harder. We're trying to make your lives easier, and that's me included.
So he owns a septic system. He's called a young one, a new one, relatively new. It works great. But the way, and so if they bring sewer down his street, he's not going to connect to it, doesn't intend to connect to it, will not connect to it, and also is not worried about having to pay a fine, because really, the enforcement is meant to be for people whose septics are not working properly. That's what it's supposed to be. But the language of the statute says if it's not working properly, you have 90 days. If it is working properly, you have 365 days. There's another couple of pieces that don't matter a whole lot. And the people are there worried that all of a sudden you're going to force people to get onto septic. To get onto sewer. What the point of this was to create eligibility for grants so that people wouldn't have to pay. Not so that they'd be forced to pay. But people had questions, and a lot of them had gotten this exactly backwards and showed up and were worked up and angry. And so Colton Wright, Commissioner for District 5.
Number one, if anyone wants to be mad at anyone over this issue, you can bring it all at me because I'm the one that brought it to the board to begin with. I did it because we had a circumstance where we had applied for grant funding to try to provide for a septic to sewer conversion so that it would not cost the citizen and the taxpayer and the residents a dime.
We were trying to save money.
And we were told that if we don't follow the state law and don't have an ordinance that mirrors it, that we're not going to get that kind of funding going forward.
So there's a lot of little checkboxes that go in, you know, grants, okay, when you do these applications. And apparently one of the checkboxes is if you don't have state law mirrored in your own county statutes, then you just can't get this grant money. Well, it's not like the county is adding a law or changing the state law. If state law is already in place, it still applies regardless of what they do in the county commission. But it's just it's a formality, okay? It's nothing but a formality. But
the irony in this is that I think everyone in this room, if I ask them to raise their hand, do you want us, the five of us, to be good stewards of your tax dollars? You'd raise your hand, right? Do you want us to be responsible? Do you want us to protect the environment? I think that's a yes as well. And I think if you want us to seek out more grant funding so we take your tax dollar and leverage it against state and federal dollars, that's a win. I hear that from people time and time and time and time again, that that's what they want us to do. That's exactly what this ordinance allows us to do.
We're trying to save you money. We're trying to protect the environment from the harmful effects of, you know, misbehaving septic, and also facilitate conversion to sewer, but setting the cost by having somebody else pay federal or state grants. And
I think it's frustrating that, you know, even in the backup, it says the proposed ordinance simply restates existing state law established in section 381.00655 of Florida statutes and adds no new regulations. We're not setting up a group of septic police or a SWAT team that's going to come to your house and knock your door down and say, you got to hook to sewer, and we're going to charge you a bunch of money.
Septic weapons and tactics, SWAT. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has. But that's what people were thinking is, oh, my God, they're going to come force me to get onto the sewer. It's going to cost me money. We just bought this house. We just bought this septic system. Ours works fine. I want free, you know, I want us to be on my own water. So all the stuff, okay? A lot of stuff is going to come up with the very angry public. Go ahead, John. You got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened just off the Bayou Chico Bridge just west of Barrancas. It's going to affect base traffic. One lane is open there, and I'm starting to see some backups there, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. No delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the conversation over the septic to sewer ordinance in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, and lots of interesting questions are going to come up. Gary Edgar says, look, I got told that I can't convert over onto sewer because they don't have capacity for me. How do you plan to fix that problem?
So if you can't handle the capacity of my home now, and this thing comes through that's enforced, how are you going to put me on a sewage system that the county has told me we can't afford to put you on it because we're over capacity? So you're talking out of both sides. That's all I have.
We'll address it. I understand exactly your point, and I've got that in my points to cover.
And there was a concern that, you know, they don't have capacity for me now, and so I buy a septic system. But then later on, they have capacity, and they're going to force me to trade over onto the sewer. I mean, there were a lot of swirling concerns. And the frustrated, angry, kind of mobby nature of the people who showed up really spilled over in one of the early comments. Barry Close, very angry, very adversarial, kind of understandably so, if you're talking about thinking that the government's going to put a $15,000 bill at your desk. And so he's trying to ask questions. He's not getting the answer. He's not familiar with the procedures. They don't typically engage in a back and forth conversation with people. That had been a problem back when James Calkins had been a commissioner, of always turning every meeting into a total debacle. And so they kind of instituted some, like, they don't get into a back and forth during the public forum. You speak, everybody speaks, then they'll say things after that. He didn't understand this policy.
Nobody that I know saw any kind of a notification that this was had come about. So where was it published, or, you know, how did you get notification out of this subject?
We'll answer your questions later. I mean, we don't do a back and forth, but I got your question.
Oh, my God.
I wrote your question down. I mean, it's your time.
Yeah, obviously not.
See, when somebody's already on tilt and you tell them I'm not going to answer your question, it's over for them, you know?
Okay. Of the five of you guys, I want to know who of you, regardless of what the state says, you have to, don't have to, whatever, how many of you are for this?
That's the end of his time.
We'll be voting on it, so you we're not.
You can't
going
tell me if you're for it or against
it. We're not
it.
In a back and forth with you. This is your time.
You're ridiculous.
No, I'm not. This is not. Listen, I want to know. I can see our favorite little press goddess clapping the loudest. But I want to know.
He's triggered by Romy White being in the audience, South Santa Rosa News. Okay.
Who wants to have an unorganized.
So both sides are kind of on tilt at this point a little bit.
Organized meeting with a bunch of back and forth with people to where we're going on forever and ever, and we have all the staff sitting up here making all this tax dollar money. No, sir, you cannot be yelling from the crowd.
Shut up.
Did you just tell me to shut up?
Did you hear me say that?
Get him out of escort him out. No, I'm not going to have any. That's disrespectful, and that's.
Nobody else heard it. Nobody heard it. What heard that? From you.
He didn't say shut up. He said something else. It's hard to make out, but it wasn't shut up. I think it was gotcha, if anything. So, yeah, this person who I think kind of yelled out from the audience once and then got told not to and then yelled out again and got misunderstood. And then Carrie, who's already a little bit on tilt, he throws him out.
All we want is respectful meetings. And that's all we're doing. Ma'am? I don't have respect for somebody telling me to shut up from a crowd. No, sir. I did. I don't know how you didn't hear it. I heard it.
I was closer and I didn't hear it. Carrie's like, I did hear it.
He admitted to it.
And he didn't admit to it.
He told me to shut up. Okay. Listen, folks, I'm not, this is just, this, all we're trying to do is run a sensible, civilized meeting. I know a lot of you guys don't come to this, and I believe me, I understand. You're working, no ma'am, let's not have a back and forth, please. You're working, you got jobs, everybody's got things to pay attention to, and when these things spark up like they do, like this has, I understand it. I understand where people are upset, because you're sitting here going, man, they're going to nail me with $15,000 in impact fees or tap fees. And I get it. I get the reality of what you're looking at.
And I honestly feel for Carrie in this situation because you're trying to do something good. You're trying to do something which you are sure is going to help people. And you are also sure that they are completely misinformed about what you're trying to do. And they're angry at you because they think you're doing something you're not doing. And they're angry at you for the thing they think you're doing that you're not doing. And you're like, how do I explain this to you? And then they're yelling at you and you feel like somebody told you to shut up. And I don't think he did, but, you know, I'm sure Carrie does think that he did. How do you respond to all of that? Well, we're going to try to have a meeting. So this kind of, as you would expect, kind of goes on.
We don't want to have back and forth. We don't want to have just a ruckus. You don't do that in anywhere else. We're not going to do it here because we got five gentlemen up here that are trying to run the best, to be the best we can. And we can understand when you get upset. I really do understand it because I'm sitting there looking at this bill being on me one day. And I'm going to be 70-something years old, and you're going to say, I got to tap into this at $15,000. I don't have it. You've got to understand, we're not out here trying to fight you. We're not.
And see, I know that's true. I know what Carrie and Colton are trying to do here. I know they're trying to save people money. I know that they think this is going to be a way to help them get grant money so that if people need to convert over onto sewer, they can get some of that cost or all of that cost defrayed through a grant. And I know they're looking at the people in the audience and the sort of rousing that's gotten to them through some of the early reporting before this meeting took place. They're like, what do we do? How do we fix this? So, you know, I just think a lot of times when people are rowdy in a meeting, there are times when throwing people out makes sense. And there are other times when you just have to, it's okay. You know, I can take an insult. I'm going to pause. They're already angry. Let's not feed their anger and resentment and martyr syndrome and whatever else is going to be going on. Let's just, it's okay. You know, we'll get through it. And it's hard to do that in the moment. It definitely is hard to do that in the moment. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There will be a part two to this coming up next hour.
There better be.
Oh, and by the way, this is honestly not even the most interesting drama that happened during the meeting. The really interesting stuff came up over the Berry Hill storm, the Berry Hill widening preparation, storm pond, the Williamson family-owned property. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this took a turn that was like disagreement and bickering amongst the commissioners, the likes of which we just have not seen since James Calkins left. Oh, by the way, James Calkins, you know, running for commissioner in Walton County. I have the tagline for the...
Oh, no.
For anybody who wants to do a PSA opposing the Calkins candidacy, I ain't gonna fall for that shotgun on Facebook trick no more. There you go.
That's pretty good.
Courtesy of me. A little Beverly Hills Cop adaptation for you. John Pickens, that's traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with an accident that happened on Barrancas Avenue in Broadmoor Lane. It's down to one lane still, and seeing some backups on Barrancas, so that'll affect your way into NAS Pensacola. Let's see here. Highway 29 southbound, right around 10 Mile Road. Seeing about a 4 to 5 minute delay just in that area with congestion. But other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi. But you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction. 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-555.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Thinking of refreshing your home for the holidays? Good news! Jonathan's Flooring can help. Now through the end of November, Jonathan's is offering a special deal. They'll paint any interior room, walls, and trim up to 12 by 12 feet for only $299, including paint. Select from a large variety of colors, and rest assured, Jonathan's delivers first-class workmanship. To set your home's refresh appointment, stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, just south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No sense of humor.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for.
Good morning. It's 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne has got a headline or two for us in the newsroom. David?
Good morning. The three major candidates in New York City's mayor's race faced off Thursday. Things got off to a heated start, apparently, between Zohran Mamdani and independent Democrat former Governor Andrew Cuomo. It's expected that former Trump administration National Security Advisor John Bolton will be surrendering to federal authorities in Maryland today. Bolton was indicted yesterday on 18 federal charges related to alleged mishandling of classified documents. A vocal critic of Trump, Bolton, calling the indictment politically motivated. And Andrew, if you're going to be around Kentucky way this weekend, they're doing their first ever Goblin Con in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It's a two-day UFO and paranormal expo marking the 70th anniversary of the Kelly-Hopkinsville encounter of 1955, which helped to inspire films like E.T. and Critters.
I just can't put all of those words together in my brain the way they're supposed to be. So I'll just take it for granted. I'll leave it at that. David, thank you.
Listen on air at 92.3.